I've mentioned that for a few Sundays we're going to look at this short New Testament epistle, letter, the Epistle of Paul to Philemon, and it's on our in our Church Bibles, page 803. This is a letter that reminds us that if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're going to read through the book of Romans this month. If you can join with us and read through Romans in our Reading the Bible Together idea, where we are reading through books of the Bible as a church. In Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, we'll read that Paul writes to the Roman Christians and says to them, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you became and obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Well, we're going to read about someone this morning who was literally a slave. Someone who needed to know God's forgiveness and also needed to know the forgiveness of the man to whom this letter is written, called Philemon. As I was reading this letter and reading various accounts of people who knew God's forgiveness, I came across a story of two brothers, a bit like my two pencils, really. They were convicted of stealing sheep. And hundreds of years ago, people who were convicted of stealing were sometimes branded as thieves. They had the letters ST, stealing sheep, sheep thief, branded on them. One brother couldn't bear the stigma. He became bitter. He ran away. He ran away from people. He ran away from God, never to return. He didn't know forgiveness. But the other brother said, "I'm not going to run away. I've done wrong. I'm going to seek forgiveness from God and from my neighbors." And as he knew God's grace and forgiveness and the power of the gospel in his heart, so his life was changed. He became a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. All things became new. Yes, his sins were blotted out. And he began to build a solid reputation as a man of faith and a man of integrity. And as the years passed, a stranger who hadn't known what had happened to him all those years ago when those letters ST, sheep thief, were branded on him, someone came to the town and asked someone else, "What do those letters on this man's forehead mean?" And the person he asked said, "Well, something happened a long time ago. I've forgotten now really what it was all about. But I think now those letters ST on his forehead stand for saint." God had changed him. And this letter, this little letter of Philemon, reminds us that God forgives people. And when he forgives people, he changes them. God changes every person he saves through the gospel. So let's think about this little letter for a moment, just as an introduction. Here's Paul's shortest, most personal letter. It's written from his first imprisonment in Rome. Philemon, the person Paul is writing to, was a wealthy man from Colossae, near Laodicea, about 100 miles inland from Ephesus, so on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. And the letter is also addressed, you notice, verse 2, to Philemon, verse 1, verse 2, to the beloved Apphia, probably Philemon's wife, and then Archippus, our fellow soldier. Many think that Archippus was the leader, the pastor of the church that met in their house. There's no record of a church building like this building until about the 3rd century. So it was common. The early church would meet where they had some freedom. They would meet in a house. Paul hadn't visited Colossae. He hoped to do so soon. Notice verse 22. Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you, says Paul. So he's hoping to visit them. But he hasn't visited this city yet. But somehow, sometime, perhaps during Paul's ministry in Ephesus, he had come into personal contact with this rich man Philemon and led him to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Philemon is a Christian. He's a believer. He's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although, at this time, he still owned slaves. Now, I believe that the New Testament directly addresses the issue of slavery. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, it seems to me that there is a precis of the Ten Commandments. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, one of the things that the law is given for is for kidnappers, bringing down God's judgment upon those who kidnap. Now, in the Authorized Version of the Bible, this is the New King James, the original King James Version, the Authorized Version of the Bible, that word is translated slightly different feel to it. Those who kidnap men, it says. Men stealers. And the ESV version of the Bible, which we sometimes use, translates it as enslavers. Those who kidnap, those who steal, those who enslave others. So it seems to me the New Testament addresses this issue, but which was common and widespread culturally in the Roman world. And certainly this little letter of Paul to Philemon brings us into an atmosphere where you can see the institution of slavery from a Christian perspective must wither and die. But still at this time, here's Philemon. He has a slave called Onesimus. And it looks as if Onesimus has stolen something from Philemon's house and then run away. And at this time in the Roman Empire, masters had absolute authority over slaves. They would torture or even kill them for very minor offenses. So what Onesimus has done is a big deal. If he's stolen and he's run away, he's a fugitive slave, he certainly is in danger of being executed. But in his travels, God providentially led Onesimus all the way to Rome. If you're going to run away in the ancient world and lose yourself, Rome would be a good choice, a big city. Run away and get lost in Rome. But he crossed paths with the Apostle Paul. And we'll think a bit more about that tonight, perhaps. We don't know exactly how they met. But the Holy Spirit, the hound of heaven, was pursuing Onesimus. Onesimus had heard the gospel, perhaps, in Philemon's household, in, as it says there, the church in your house, verse 2. But he didn't become a Christian there. He ran away, he stole, he ran away, he traveled hundreds of miles to the big city, to Rome, and then he just happened to meet the Apostle Paul. And it just happened that Paul shared the gospel with him. And it just happened that when Paul shared the gospel with him, God opened Onesimus' heart. Now you understand, it didn't just happen. It was the hand of God. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. But God opened Onesimus' heart. And he cried out to God for forgiveness. And Onesimus trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stayed with Paul, and these two men, the Apostle Paul and the runaway slave Onesimus, formed a close companionship. Look at how Paul describes what has happened in verses 10 and the verses that follow. I appeal to you, he says. I appeal to you, Philemon, for my son, Onesimus. Now, it's not his literal son, but his spiritual son. Whom I've begotten while in my chains. Onesimus has become a Christian while Paul is in prison in Rome. Who once was unprofitable to you. The name Onesimus means useful or profitable. But Paul is saying Onesimus was once unprofitable to you. I mean, he stole and ran away. But now he is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. See how much Paul now values his friendship with this man Onesimus, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. So it seems as Onesimus grew in the faith through Paul's teaching, he realized he must return to Philemon, his master, and he must make restitution for what he'd stolen. That's important for a Christian, isn't it? So the fact that we have this letter to Philemon is proof of the genuine nature of Onesimus' conversion. If he's just pretending to be a convert, he would have taken off for some other place and never returned to Philemon. But this short letter is Paul's appeal to his friend Philemon and to the church in Colossae to welcome back now a runaway slave. Not as a second-class citizen, but as a fellow beloved brother in the church. So Paul's task is not easy. He has to convince a man and a church that was immersed in that day a cultural acceptance of slavery to go against the culture and to practice the truth that all people are equal in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could have asserted his apostolic authority, but he wanted to secure Philemon's acceptance from the heart. So Paul doesn't deny Onesimus' crime, but Paul wanted Philemon and his wife and the church to forgive Onesimus as God had forgiven Onesimus. He wanted mercy to triumph over vengeance. And he also wanted to leave the door open for Philemon to free his slave, that perhaps Onesimus would then return to Rome and carry on being a helper to Paul. So there are several ways we can approach this letter, and we'll look at different ways to approach it tonight and on Sundays following. But this morning, I want to focus on this change that God brings by the power of the gospel. That God transforms our lives, God transforms our relationships with others, God transforms our relationship with Him. So our lives, our relationship with others, with Him. So first, God transforms your life when He saves you. We have two men in this story who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul. Well, in fact, we have three: Paul, Onesimus, Philemon. But let's think first of all about Paul. Here we have a letter which is full of Paul's gentleness and sensitivity and graciousness. He commends Philemon in a very loving and gracious manner. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you, making mention of Philemon, always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see how the sensitive heart of Paul, that he's come to know much comfort and joy in Philemon's love in the gospel, and then he goes on to appeal to him as a brother in Christ. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you, he says, verse 8, yet rather, verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. In verse 17, if then you'd count me as a partner, receive him, receive Onesimus, as you would me. And then he gently adds, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord, verse 20. And you may be thinking, well, yes, here's the Apostle Paul appealing to Philemon to forgive this runaway slave. What's the big deal? Well, what was Paul like before he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Jews stoned innocent Stephen, Paul was in hearty agreement as he watched that gruesome spectacle. He began making havoc of the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison, Acts 8 verse 3. He was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, Acts 9 verse 1. 1 Timothy 1:13, he describes himself as being a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man. That's quite a different Paul than what we get in this letter. Before he trusted in Jesus Christ, Paul was an angry young man. Here he is 25 years later, now a forgiven, gentle, humble, gracious man, urging Philemon to love and kindness. We shouldn't also miss Paul's mention in verse 24 of Mark as one of his fellow laborers. On his first missionary journey, Mark had abandoned Paul and Barnabas. Later, when Barnabas wanted to give Mark a second chance, Paul refused. But Barnabas took Mark with him, worked with him, till Mark was reinstated as a faithful servant of the Lord. And as Paul was growing in grace, he came to see Mark as useful for service and here as a fellow laborer with him. What has happened to Paul? The grace of God has transformed his life. It may be before you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were a very angry person. You had a reputation for a short fuse. Knowing God's forgiveness, you learn to walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Knowing God's forgiveness, you learn to put off the sinful ways of the old man and put on the godly ways of the new man in Christ. God has transformed Paul's life. But then notice also God has transformed Onesimus' life. Now, Onesimus has not been a Christian as long as Paul. But there have been some major changes in Onesimus. He had grudgingly served Philemon, done the bare minimum, and then looked for an opportunity to escape. And probably stolen and escaped. Now, he's willing to return back, ready and willing to render whatever service is required of him. Paul says that Onesimus, whose name means useful, was unprofitable or useless to Philemon, verse 11. He was not a good worker, but now he's been changed. God had changed him. Before, he was a man of resentment. Perhaps because it was in his master's house the church met, perhaps he hated not only his master, but his master's God. But now he's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of being a surly, angry slave, he's now willing to go back and serve Philemon. God has changed Onesimus' attitude through the gospel. See, has the Lord changed you? A teenager is changed from being a grumpy, grumbling, snapping at parents. A change of heart, knowing God's forgiveness. There's now a willingness to follow the ways of God. In the workplace, men and women who know this forgiveness of God, they're changed people, not doing the bare minimum to keep a job, grumbling all the time, complaining, moaning all the time. Now a joyful spirit, doing a job as to the Lord. In a home, before you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps exploding with anger. Now the grace of God brings a patient kindness. You think about the needs of a family, how you can serve them. About 50 years after Paul wrote this letter, Ignatius, the Bishop of Antioch, was being taken to be executed in Rome. He stopped over in Smyrna, and he wrote to the church of Ephesus and commended their bishop. The name of the bishop was Onesimus. Now, we can't absolutely positively identify that Onesimus is the same Onesimus as this runaway slave. But it is certainly possible. Imagine that God might have used this once useless slave. Knowing God's forgiveness, he's transformed. He becomes a mighty servant, a leader in the church of Jesus Christ. If God has saved you, he transforms your life. So God transforms your life when he saves you. That's the first thing. The second thing is God transforms your relationships with others. That's an extension from the first. If you change from being hostile to gracious, from rebellious to submissive, from being self-serving to serving others, it's bound to affect your relationships with others. And Philemon reflects that. God changes you from alienation to reconciliation with others. When Onesimus absconded, it's likely that he ran off with perhaps some of Philemon and Apphia's money. They were no doubt angry. After the nice way we treated him, he stole from us and ran away, that ungrateful thief, Onesimus. And Onesimus probably didn't have warm, fuzzy thoughts when he remembered Philemon and Apphia. They're living in luxury and I'm working all my fingers to the bone as a slave. It's not fair. Even if I stole some things, they got plenty left. Now, how can that be a relationship that's reconciled? Only by the power of God and the transformation of the gospel. A key evidence that a person is born again is that person wants to make restitution for past wrongs. The Lord Jesus emphasizes that in the Sermon on the Mount. Talking about the sin of anger, the Lord Jesus says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift." You can't worship God properly until you've been reconciled with that person who has something against you. So your changed relationship with God, knowing God's forgiveness, will bring a changed relationships with others. And if this morning your relationships with others are wrong, it may be an indication you're not right with God. Reconciled relationships are a big deal to God. And they should be a big deal to us. And we also see here God changes you relating to the others on the basis of not as social status, but a new relationship. You see, formerly, the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus was the relationship of master-slave. But now there's a new relationship. Listen to verse 16. Paul wants Philemon to receive him back, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Here's a new relationship. Paul is saying to the rich, wealthy Philemon and the runaway slave, but now they are brothers in Christ. Now, we don't know if Philemon immediately released Onesimus from slavery or not. But they had a new basis for relating to one another. It might have been in the church that Philemon served communion to Onesimus. It may be in the church that there was an occasion when Onesimus opened up the scriptures and taught the church the things that the Apostle Paul had taught him in Rome. You see, what the gospel does, it erases those social class distinctions and puts us in a new relationship as the family of God. Not master-slave now, brothers in Christ. Which is why then there is no place for racial discrimination in the Church of Jesus Christ. I have a friend called Achille Blaise, and he tells a story about when he first came to the UK and went as the guest preacher to a church where he wasn't known. They had never met him before. Achille Blaise is a black-skinned West Indian man. And when he arrived at the church, the person meeting him on the door said to him, "I think you